Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Doctor Is In. It's been a while since I did an episode, but we've kind of turned this into like a semi-regular kind of feature-length thing. It just sort of comes out when it's ready, you know? It's like a podcast of requirement. I'm Paul Verhoeven, your host, and this week on The Doctor Is In, obviously, it's only a few days until Doctor Who Flux begins the end of Jodie Whittaker's journey as the Doctor. And she has a new companion. His name's Dan. That's basically all we know about the guy. But he's played by the incredibly amiable and critically acclaimed comedian John Bishop. So here's what happened. I hopped on the phone, I mean an actual old school phone, with John, and we had the most incredible chat. So I'm going to play it for you now. So without further ado, John Bishop.
John, how you doing?
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good, man, I'm good. I guess we should probably just jump straight into it, if that's okay. You're a comedian, and there's a proud tradition of comedians rocking up on Who and just absolutely nailing their roles. What is it that you learn as a comedian that you think equips you for turning out such complex performances? Because I honestly think that comedians might give better dramatic performances than, like, straight dramatic actors at this point.
Well, first of all, you better say it first. You might change your mind after you see me. I think there's something about comedians and acting that a few people kind of abuse comedians before, and I don't know whether it's that honesty that you've got to have inside of you as a comedian, which can come out as an actor. That's a useful facet. But I think for this role, particularly for Doctor Who, it's the fact that it's basically a little bit bonkers. And so you've got to be able to see the world from a slightly different view to be able to embrace it. Because it is, without any shadow of a doubt, crazy. You know, you find yourself having to embrace the fact that your character within a short space of time is living a life that you can't explain to anybody. And you end up as a actor having to portray a situation where your character is in a life and death situation, facing something that is completely out of their experience, out of their range, but you've got to manage to somehow get through it, put all your faith in the Doctor, and find something funny about it. I don't know whether that's something to do with it, I don't know, but it is. If I was to look at a typical day on Doctor Who, you're turning up and you're doing, I suppose, a storyline that is an intimate friendship relationship with Yaz. So you've got a storyline like that. You've then got to save your own skin or save your friend's skin, or you've got to have faith in the Doctor that she knows what's going on. You've then got to save the world or the universe or participate in that. And then you've got to have a cup of tea with somebody who looks like a giant dog in between. Or, you know, and it's like, this is just bonkers. particularly when you start with the actors wearing all the prosthetics, you sort of sat there thinking, how am I accepting this is normal? And the problem is, I've not been able to talk about Doctor Who within the stand-up set, because I'm on tour at the moment. I've not been able to talk about it until it goes out, and I can't wait, because then it will be that filter of comedy, seeing Doctor Who through the filter of comedy, I think will become more apparent to me. But even right now, I don't know what to say about it because it's just it's just crazy.
Oh, that's crazy. I'm sitting here going, like, because you are really, I mean, I've dabbled in comedy. I do a couple of comedy festivals, and I do these nights where, you know, you're in a lineup of stand-ups, and the worst place for me to get put was last because I felt this intense pressure of not only do I have to nail it, but also everyone's exhausted by this point, and they've kind of seen all this other comedy through the night. Are you feeling that way as basically the last companion to be added to the show of this era of the show?
Yeah. It's like being a plumber in a porn film. Everyone goes, you don't really want a plumber. We've seen all we want. It's, I suppose, there is that bit where you're the last on the bill. But also, you know what? What's gone before in terms of Jodie's journey and with Tozen and Bradley, it feels to me that my character, this is obviously going to be a reference to Bradley because we've both done stand-up comedy. We're not massively different in age. And, I suppose we're both white, middle-aged, straight men being the companion of the Doctor. I suppose there's all of those things that are an easy comparison.
Mm.
But the reality is, Dan's character is massively different, and I think I can only experience Doctor Who from the year that I've had on it, and I think that it's a completely different storyline. The fact that the series is spread over one narrative helps. So I think it's a very, very different experience. It's not like, as you say, coming on last. It's not like, when you're on a stand-up bill and there's been something on the news, like, you know, the Prime Minister fell over and every act goes on and goes, did you see that thing about the Prime Minister falling over? And your best joke is about the Prime Minister falling over. You think, oh, my God, I've now got, am I going to go on and say it? It's not like that. It just feels very, very different.
Yeah. So if you came on and had to do a plot line about your, grandson being unable to ride a bike, you'd be screwed. But the fact is, Dan, he's completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, God, dude, if I watch episode one and that happens, I'm going to lose my mind. What's the trailer? And, I don't think there's ever been as vague a character reveal as Dan's. I mean, like, so what can you tell me about this character without giving anything away? Like, who is Dan?
Well, Dan at the start is not the same as Dan at the end. Dan is lost in terms of his world. He's unlucky in love. He's not very successful within his job. He's a nice, kind man. He works at a local charity. And he's lost all his self-confidence and self-worth. And he goes on this journey with the Doctor, and at the end of it, he values himself and significantly more, and he values the life that he's got and the opportunities in front of him more than he does at the beginning. He's not somebody who really has a better option than going on the trip with the Doctor and Yaz, because when the Doctor says to him, do you want to come, it's a fairly easy decision because it's taking him somewhere, but it's a huge decision in many respects because I think if there's a backstory to him, he's not been anywhere or done anything. And to reach that stage in his life to suddenly embrace the madness of going with two women into a little box, it's a big step for him.
Yeah, I mean, would you, if you got the call at this point, if you heard the TARDIS in real life and it opened up and they said drop everything, would you have? Do you think you'd have too many attachments to be able to go, or do you think you could just take a punt and fly off to adventure?
Oh. We've just got a new puppy. Obviously, I've got three kids, and you know, I've been married for 28 years. They come into it as well. But we have just got a new puppy, and that'd be hard to leave. it'd be hard to leave Stanley.
Oh, God, that's adorable. No, because the TARDIS is already... they've got robot dogs. There's no reason they couldn't whack a puppy in there. Like, it's...
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about, the relationship with Yaz and the Doctor, and it seems like the core thing that this show really carries through well, especially lately, is, that idea of friendship. Like, you are friends with the Doctor, and it is about a bunch of friends flying around, being good to each other. Are you a good friend in real life? Are you someone that your mates can rely on in a crisis?
Oh, yeah, I'd like to think so. I mean, you'd have to ask me mates, but... I've got a WhatsApp group, and I'm scared sometimes to look at it because there's 17 of us on it, I think, and we've all been friends for at least 30 years. But the problem is that I'm scared to look at it because we all kind of met when we were at university. We all met when we were like 18 or 19, and on that WhatsApp group, we're still 18 or 19. So it's everybody just taking the mick out of each other constantly. And so if you look at it, there'll be like 100 messages a day of just going like, you're fat, no, you're bald. It's just all that stuff. But it's that core group of people that I was friends with before I even stepped onto a stage to do stand-up comedy or entered this world. And they're very much my bedrock. I think there's one of the big things for me in life is the weight of loneliness that a lot of people feel in the world because they're just not connecting with somebody, and it's such a hard thing in my mind because it's so easily cured. Loneliness is cured by talking to somebody. Just having one person you can talk to. And I feel very, very blessed that I've got more than that.
Is that why you get up on stage and make people laugh, do you think?
If I was a psychologist, maybe there's something within that bit where you go, because we've been through lockdown as you have, and all of a sudden being told the thing that you do, you're not allowed to do anymore. And I was very, very lucky because it meant I could do Doctor Who. But now that I'm back on tour, I realise that being on stage is a two-way relationship. And you know if you've done it. If you say something, and as soon as you say it, a room full of people all laugh at the same time. It's so joyful. And you receive so much from it. It's wonderful.
But you did. I mean, when you do Doctor Who, right? You've done it. It's wrapped. It's all done. And now you have to wait months. Does that blow your mind as a comedian as an actor, have to just wait and sit there and then not know what people are doing?
Mate, nightmare. Absolute nightmare. Because again, as a comedian, comedy is the most instant form of communication that there is. When you say something, people laugh or they don't. Nobody thinks about laughing. No one goes home and goes, actually, that was funny.
Yeah, my dad does.
Straight away, everybody goes. And I went straight on to Doctor Who because my tour was cancelled, the opportunity was still there, so I went through the whole rehearsal process, managed to get the part, turned up on the first day on set. We did the first scene on the TARDIS. I delivered my first lines, and he went, okay, let's move on. And I thought, whoa, where's the applause? I've just done something. Why is everyone just now moving the camera around? I've just done something. Don't people clap now, isn't it? Because you're kind of used to that. And then, you do stuff. And it's the same with particularly with this series where the narrative continues, it's sometimes a little bit hard to remember what the actual, I can't wait to see the first episode because I can't remember where that starts and where that ends within the filming days, because it was months
right.
ago.
And
we've obviously had to go back and refilm a few bits. So it's been, it has been a little bit strange doing something and then waiting for almost a year to watch it.
Do you ever try and get the crew to crack during a take? Do you ever see if you can make them break? Because those people are industry professionals who are not messing around. If you can get a camera operator to laugh, have you ever managed this?
Well, we had one thing where... Because the big thing for me is, like, what I didn't want is people to see Dan on the screen and go, oh, that's John Bishop, because every time Dan comes on the screen, he tries to say something funny. So, you know, I spoke with Chris Chibnall about Dan and said, you know, I don't want him to be too overtly comic as a character, because he'll lose all his reason for being there. But obviously, as I say, have you seen any of the episodes?
No, I haven't.
Well, the first episode, and I can say this because they've put it out on social media and stuff. The first episode, I'm with Carvanista, who's a huge dog, you know, 6'4" dog, and we spent a few days, and Craig, who plays Carvanista, we're on his spaceship and we're talking and all the crew's there. And then I just got out a big plastic bag and I went, oh, Craig, for God's sake. And then pretended to pick up some poop from behind in a big doggy bag. And I went, oh, come on, what a way. So,
they keep it in?
People. Yeah, I don't know what that'll say in.
Oh, man. No, that's what I'm going to be watching for, I think. I'm going to be waiting for the poo joke.
Yeah.
So thank you for
the poop bug.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. Look, just quickly, just finally, what is what's scarier for you, absolutely bombing on stage or Daleks?
Oh, Daleks. Because stage life began when I was 35. That's when I did my first ever open spot walking on a stage. Daleks came into my life when I was about 7, so I've been scared of them a lot longer. You know, that's a visceral thing, though.
Yeah, so that's when your plastic bag comes into play, I think. John, thank you for absolutely making my bloody night. It was a real pleasure, and well done on the show in advance. I'm sure it's going to be great. I can't wait to see it.
Lovely, thanks, Paul.
Look, if that didn't get you excited about John's stint on Doctor Who, I don't know what will. I'm so excited to see how it pans out. And like I said, there's only a few days left until Doctor Who Flux airs, unless you're listening to this way later, in which case, how was it? Good? I cannot hear your reply. That's not how podcasts work. Now, next week on the show, yes, I know, 2 weeks in a row, I've got a very, very special guest. I've got one of the Doctors on the show. I'll be talking with the 6th Doctor, Colin Baker, and he'll be talking about the incredible new Big Finish audio drama, which he's actually in, which was written by Russell T. Davies back in the 80s. It's going to be spectacular, so make sure you keep your eyes glued to your podcast feed. Hope you're all having a fantastic time, and I hope you're enjoying Doctor Who, and I'll see you next time for more of The Doctor Is In. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.